You're listening to Radio MD. She's a chiropractic physician, lecturer, author, entrepreneur, and talk show host. She's Dr. Suzanne Bennett. It's time now for Wellness for Life Radio. Here's Dr. Suzanne.
Today, we have a very special guest who will be addressing the pandemic fears of the novel coronavirus, aka COVID-19. This virus has hit, as of today, 89 countries around the world. And she, the person that's going to be speaking today is one of my very, very favorite people in the health and wellness space, who's also happens to be one of my long-term good friends. And her name is Donna Gates. Donna has a master's in education, but also is a diplomate in the American Board of Anti-Aging for Health Practitioners. She's the international best-selling author of The Body Ecology Diet, Recovering Your Health and Rebuilding Your Immunity, and as well as the Body Ecology Guide to Growing Younger, Anti-Aging Wisdom for Every Generation. Now, for the past 25 years, she's been on a mission to change the way the world eats. And in her book, The Body Ecology Diet, she introduced to the world a sugar-free, gluten-free, casein-free, and probiotic-rich diet, and a way of life that is now followed by tens of thousands of people all around the world, including me. Great to have you here, Donna. Thanks so much on such a short notice to talk about the COVID-19 virus and prevention and treatment of this pandemic infection.
Well, I was so thrilled when you called and said, can I do the show? Because, you know, when you're sitting on really priceless, life-saving information, you want other people to know as soon as you can. And I know that what I'm about to share with people is life-saving.
Right. Let's just go ahead and dive in. You know, right now there's such a big fear because the percentage of mortality rate is higher than, let's say, the influenza. But by day to day, numbers of people are being detected with the COVID-19. What do we have to do right now, at least to understand what it is and how to recognize that you might have it and get help?
Well, one of the things I always like to teach people is that, you know, think of the virus like a dragon. And, you know, dragons are fire breathing, which means inflammation in the body. And there are different types, like some can come and go like this virus, or they can live in your body forever, like herpes and Epstein-Barr and so on. But if you think of the virus as a dragon, and the dragon's like living in a cave in your body, and he's not really a problem if he doesn't come out of the cave. They come out of the cave and become a problem when your body's too acidic. So there's certain things you absolutely have to do. You've got to alkalize your body, which means more minerals, and diet's really critical for that. And then also, you want to build your immune system, because it's really the immune system that has to get the virus, get the dragon back in the cave, so to speak. In the case of the COVID virus, for example, you want the immune system to kill it. You don't want it. It's not a virus that resides in your body for many, many decades. But they always cause inflammation. And I always, you know, say, think of the ones coming out of the cave. Like, they're hungry. They're only coming out because you've become too acidic and they need minerals. And so just kind of have an understanding of the virus that way. Then it feels like you've got more control over it. Now, alkalizing, well, that's, and building the immune system, both of us, as you know, we've been friends for a really long time, Suzanne. Building the immune system is about 70% or more in the gut. And so there's certain foods you can and cannot eat. Right now, if you're not infected, you want to be building the immune system. And the most important foods for doing that are the fermented foods. Kimchi, like you've got this fantastic book. Everybody should run out and read the book on kimchi. It's a great book. And then you got to build energy, which again, you have a book on the mitochondria, which is about building energy. That's absolutely essential. If you're really, really tired, run down, adrenal fatigue, you got to start, you know, the minute you feel like you're potentially infected, you've got to stop and rest and build your energy. Now, the other thing, alkalizing, well, if you feel like you've just been exposed or, you know, starting to come down with it, one of the best things you can do is put a little bit of apple cider vinegar in a glass of water if you hate the taste. Put, like 1 tablespoon in about 12 ounces of water or 16 or whatever. But then you can even put a few drops of stevia in to sweeten it. It'll sort of soften the bitter you know, the sour taste of the apple cider vinegar. But that immediately, if you stop, put up your feet, rest, drink the apple cider vinegar, that immediately pulls your body into more of an alkaline state that's going to arrest the virus. And then what, okay, so there's that old saying, feed a cold, starve the flu. Well, that means you can't just eat. As a matter of fact, this is a time where fasting or, you know, fasting like in a 24-hour day, maybe you've got 6 or 8 hours of eating something. The rest of the time, not eating, but drinking plenty of liquids. Again, you know, being still. But what you eat, when you eat, is absolutely critical. So what makes your body acidic? Well, animal proteins do. And so you don't want any animal protein, you know, no chicken, fish, steak, anything like that. But what you can have for protein is miso soup. It's actually excellent. And if you make it with some sea vegetables, like a kombu broth where you, you know, soak kombu, you know, simmer kombu and a lot of water in this, make this broth. And then that's what you use for miso. If you put wakame in there, that's another nice sea vegetable to drop in there. If you put in shiitake mushrooms, dried ones, they're very immune building too.
And how about then, bone broth soup? Bone broth.
No. I'm glad you brought that up because it's animal protein and it's alkalizing. It's not alkalizing. It's more acidic. This is a temporary thing. You know, of course, people are bone broth and all is fine, amino acid broth with no bones in it, but not now. This is not the time. And
does
then
this,
go ahead. I'm sorry.
Does this just, you know, circling back regarding proteins, does this have anything to do with also arginine, excess arginine that's in animal protein, which promotes immune, or I should say promotes viral infections? Are you thinking of it in that nature as well?
Well,
not just
I think
the acidity.
Both. You're absolutely right. I'm really, of course you would bring this up, but lysine is really, really critical because if you're getting arginine, you've got to always balance it off with enough lysine, and lysine needs B6. It's the cofactor to make lysine work more effectively. So in the protein world, fermented natto is okay, but I don't like natto for most people. It has sensitivities to oxalates, which I won't go into. But so miso soup is fantastic. It's fermented soy, so it's got all the best benefits of soy and none of the harmful benefits. And then yogurt and kefir, you know, I'm really big on making sure you get your milk from an A2 cow. Like they do have A2 milk in the market now, A2 low fat, and some people do way better on the low fat, but anyway, you can ferment that. We actually have kefir starter that you can ferment very easily, real potent. It's easier to make than yogurt is actually, and you can make it right in your kitchen and, you know, make it today in 24, 18 hours or so. It's ready to drink, just put it in the refrigerator. And then as far as grains and grain-like seeds, no, there are no. Because again, they're in the more acidic range. You cannot also have nuts and seeds. They're very high in arginine, and they are really hard to digest, but also they will flare up a virus right away. You can, however, have oils from nuts and seeds, but, you know, like olive oil, avocado oil, borage seed, that gives you some omega-6. Flax seed oil is good, but not chia. Chia is very high in oxalates. I don't usually recommend it. But
do you recommend beans?
No.
Did
beans
you say
either.
Beans?
Are you saying beans? B-E-A-N-F? Or
yes.
Beans.
Beans.
Yeah,
B
no,
as in
not
legumes.
Really. Not right now. But see, the thing about miso, it's from soybean, but it's fermented. So, you know, I would say definitely no to beans. They're marginal. And then, but grains, you know, rice, millet, and quinoa are grain-like seeds. Not now. They're too acidic. And then greens, G-R-E-E-N-S, they're really good. Some of the best ones are like escarole is a great green that I don't think people realize what a great vegetable it is. Very important in the Mediterranean diet. Very easy to digest. It has different veining than kale and spinach and Swiss chard. It's way easier to digest. And then fermented vegetables. I mean, they're super, super important. We have a protein shake, a probiotic protein shake that has bacillus in it. And bacillus is a great bacteria for the gut, and it's a protein that you could eat too. But I like for people to make their own fermented foods. I think they're way more potent than when you buy them in the store, but you can buy them in the store for sure. Better to get store-bought than not have any, and start eating those right away. But if you are going to make them, if you make them with beets and red cabbage, and I put in fennel and onion, and make a brine with a lot of two or three apples in it, and, you know, blend that up with water and put in your starter, then pour that over your shredded vegetables and wait a week or so, then pack that in a jar and let it ferment. Well, I like beets because they're real high in nitric oxide, which actually kills bad things in the body. You know, the body makes nitric oxide, but we don't usually make nearly enough, particularly as we get older. And also hydrogen peroxide, which our body makes, which can be a good thing. It kills, you know, pathogens, but too much, if it's not converted down properly into oxygen and water, then it could be a problem. But now is the time you want hydrogen peroxide, which your body will make. But beets are a fantastic source, particularly if they're fermented, because beets are high in oxalates, and now you're going to get rid of the oxalates if you ferment it. That is something I highly recommend. And putting it, the reason I like to put a starter in, and I've said to do this for 25 years, is your bacteria count is way, 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 like 1,000 and something CFUs to 500,000. So I have research from the University of Nebraska on this. I sent away my fermented vegetables that were had starter and didn't have starter, and the ones with starter were amazingly higher in,
that's,
you know,
so interesting. Bacteria. What, mm-hmm, in your starter, which bacterias, or do you have one or many bacterias in your starter?
Well, it's Plantarum, which is on plants naturally anyway. It's just part of what nature does. But the thing is, Plantarum is one of those leader bacteria. Like, if you think about it, the bacteria have to have direction. They don't know what to do. They make all their chemicals and things that they make unless somebody's telling them what to do. Plantarum is one of those super leaders. And so put in more Plantarum and all the others grow, feed each other, grow enormously. Now, the reason the kimchi, Suzanne, we did the book. I read the book, of course, and I was so impressed with the information you have in there, because, you know, a lot of people know kimchi, but they have no idea what it's really doing for their body. And you can add starter to kimchi, of course. But here's the important thing about these fermented foods. And we have probiotic liquids that are very potent too. Same concept. You go out in nature and you pick a few heads of cabbage and other veggies that you're going to ferment, some beets and all. Every single one of those, actually every, you know, our probiotic liquids have quinoa, millet, and rice and chickpeas, but they're all fermented. So every single seed, every single vegetable that you pick out of your garden or get from the store, they all have their own unique microorganisms, like a little microbiome on, say, that head of cabbage. It's been growing in nature, and it's got this amazing diversity on this one little head of cabbage. Now you're taking that into the kitchen and you're shredding it up and packing it in a jar and fermenting it, and then it grows enormously in numbers. Well, there's no way we can take a probiotic that's nearly as effective as Mother Nature's microbiome that she put, helped grow on that head of cabbage. So kimchi, the fermented vegetables that I teach, they have a diversity, and that is key. As the microbiologist began studying more and more and more, what really makes us healthy isn't just taking a bifidus or just taking acidophilus or whatever. It's the diversity. So then, yeah, you take acidophilus, you take bifidus as a supplement. We have that too. We sell bifidus. But then all that diversity, it helps the bacteria that you're adding in grow. But the diversity, there's no way human beings will ever be able to match the diversity that Mother Nature is already providing for us.
I so agree with you. When I was doing that research for the kimchi diet book, I was floored how much bacteria is in kimchi itself. And when I saw that 900, 1,000 strains in one kimchi type, whether it's Napa cabbage or radish cabbage, it's an enormous amount of strains. When you go to the health food store and you buy, you get maybe 5-6 strains. If you're lucky, you get 12. I'm talking about 1,000, 900 to 1,000 strains. So you're absolutely right. Kimchi, and as you say, the other types of ferments as well, because that wild, you know, I love wild ferments, and I have never used any forms of starter for my kimchi. We've never believed, at least in Korea, we just do it with our hands, you know, and make the veggies. But for sure, the brining is important because it kills off all the bad bugs. But at the same time, then the lactobacillus, the weissella, the Lucas gluconostoc, all of those lactic acid bacteria start to grow. So awesome. You talked about amazingly fermented foods. We've got to be more alkaline. What not to eat, which is really important, which is too much proteins, animal proteins, and even grains and nuts and seeds and things like that. What else can we do? Let's say we actually have a virus. If it's hopefully not the COVID-19, but we are having a viral infection, what can we do then? Do we do the same thing you're mentioning, or do we start adding other things?
Well, this is what you want to do. You want to avoid the proteins and the other acidic foods like nuts and seeds, grains, grain-like seeds. You want to eat the fermented vegetables and greens, dark green leafy vegetables. Raw is good. It's got a cooling nature. You know, the virus creates inflammation and heat. That raw is cooling, a cooling food. The yogurt and kefir are very cooling foods. And so is, of course, I think that the fermented vegetables that we're talking about are kind of neutral, but very, very good. So that's a must because, you know, maybe you'll, well, let's say the virus is going to run through your body for 2 weeks, let's say. If you do all this, like even take the apple cider vinegar in the very beginning, you're like immediately drawing the virus back. It can't survive. You're building your immune system. So it's in control. And you may have been infected and not even know. But I think also one of the most important things, and this is an old-timey thing, if you are, so what happens almost immediately when the virus begins to take over, and usually it's a good day and a half before you begin to feel any symptoms at all. And so then when you begin to feel the symptoms, it's the body usually shuts down, and unfortunately, it in part of what the virus is doing to control everything, you stop going to the bathroom. So that's when an enema is really important. And it's an old-fashioned method. It saved lives a couple generations ago. People had an enema bag in their house. I like enema buckets. You can usually buy them from a place like Vitality Medical online. They'll just ship them to you. They're super cheap. You should have one for everybody in the family. You can use them a few times and throw them out. You know, I would throw them out if you really had the virus. They're like $4 or $5. So, you know, stock up on those. And then, let's see. And also heat. You know, the virus will kill, heat, like the biomass, getting into a sauna if you've got one where you're sweating out. The virus, and even cancer, you know, can't grow and everything if you're in heat. On my website, I've got the higher dose blanket that I recommend. It's a really excellent, if you can't afford a sauna, that and the higher dose blanket, it's called a blanket, but it's really a sauna thing that you put over yourself. And then the biomat's a really good thing if you have one of those, it's time to drag it out and use it. Supplements, well, it's interesting because you told me, Suzanne, of some great ones to use. Virographics is one of them. Glutathione is really important. And, you know, now this is what's called in vitro. That means that they, you know, looked at the virus, they mapped out its genome, so they know what its genes are, and then they started to test in a petri dish what will kill it. Well, one of the absolutely amazing amount of research just come shooting out on this, quercetin. Quercetin is it's like you'll find quercetin in that white pithy, you know, stuff. You take the skin off of a grapefruit, what's right underneath the peel, you know, the outside, is this white stuff. And that's where quercetin comes from. It's in onions, it's in garlic, I think. But you want to take it as a supplement because you need a lot of it, about 5,000 milligrams divided up over the day. That's
quercetin. I love bioflavonoids coming from citrus fruits. I just made a video about tangerines and the power of tangerines. You can find it on my YouTube, but also Instagram. But literally, they're the properties of the peel. There's this ingredient called nobilitin. I don't know if you've ever researched that, but nobilitin is super powerful as a flavonoid. And with immune boosting, reduces inflammation, helps you with even anti-aging your skin, diabetes, blood sugar level, you name it. So what I do with the skin is I chop it up, and this might be something that you've already done before, Donna, is I chop it into little pieces, and then I just put warm water, hot water, not boiling water, but hot water, and let it steep, and all the flavonoids and essences come out, and you just drink it, but make sure you swallow the peel, the little bits of peel. And I've just recently, do you know kumquats, right? Donna, yeah. Kumquats. You know, yeah, here in the Santa Monica flea market, I found these kumquat tangerine combination. It's like a, mm-hmm. Like a breed, you know, they mixed it. And the best tasting I've ever had was having a kumquat tangerine combo where you eat the entire fruit. You literally eat the peel.
And everything. Oh, that's cool.
Everything.
Well, Suzanne, I know we don't have a lot of time, so I just want to say this. Like, I've told people for years, not everybody should be on the same foods. We're all unique. Genes really help you kind of hone in on the foods that are best for you. But also, it's a condition in your body. There will be times when something's very, very good for you and other times when it's very harmful or not good for you. So, you know, beets. So one thing I forgot to mention, so I'm really glad you brought this up, is no acid fruits during this time. They will somehow, but that doesn't mean after you're through this whole thing, you certainly shouldn't go back to that, unless you're super sensitive to oxalates. And peel isn't, you know, it's got the peel of these citrus fruits is high in oxalates. But the thing is that I forgot to mention that in that beet recipe that I talked about, I love to add the peel, say, of a lemon or lime or something to that recipe. And then it's fermented. So when you ferment these high oxalate foods, which not everybody is sensitive to oxalates, they create kidney stones for many people. So add the beets and ferment. I mean, add the beets and the peel, say the orange peel or whatever peel, you know, lemon, lime, especially orange, that's a good one. Anyway, add that. When you ferment it, you're getting rid of the oxalates too, but you kind of get that cool taste and everything you're talking about enhanced. So right. That's a good way to do it. Like, you can always, if you find the front in the back of something, you can say, well, this is the back. You know, like antibiotics have a back, right? They have good things and they have a bad side. Well, if you look at the bad side effects, then you say, well, okay, what do we do? Well, eat fermented foods and get, you know, when you're taking the antibiotic, because like plantarum, very few antibiotics can destroy plantarum. It's such a powerful bacteria and it's naturally present on all fermented vegetables. So, you know, this is all so fascinating, I find. This is not something your doctor or the news media are going to share with you because they don't know it. And some people just notice that they have much healthier, they don't get sick and everything when they eat the fermented foods. They don't even know why they're working. In Japan, for example, they eat miso soup 2 or 3 times a day. They have no idea what the real benefits are. They just eat it. So I'm so glad we were able to do this show. And I hope people come to our website. Our probiotic liquids are amazing and have that diversity and, you know, a little shot glass of them with your meal or in between meals or whenever, you know, you're putting powerful bacteria in your gut, growing your immune system, then eat just a couple of spoonfuls of the kimchi or, you know, the fermented vegetables I've been talking about with your meal. And or not, sometimes, you know, actually every once in a while I eat something and I know was maybe a little too sweet. Like right now I know I need some more potassium. So I bought a couple of bananas and ate them. But the thing is, I eat them with fermented vegetables. So, you know, the fermented vegetables have all these jillions of bacteria. They're going to look at that banana when it gets down in my digestive tract, and they're going to eat that sugar right up because they love that. And so, you know, the banana doesn't have that negative sugar effect.
Right. That's right. Don't you have, Donna, the antiviral protocol? I believe you yep. have one that you share with your audience, right?
Yes, we do. I'm glad you brought that up, too. If you just get a Vitalogy, just a Vitalogy.com and type in antiviral protocol. You know, we have it as a course that people can buy. We have articles like out in the website, unless they've been wiped off. You know, many of us in this field have been hit by Google, who's wiped away a lot of our articles and greatly, in fact, you know, hurt our business actually by doing that, because they don't want us to get this information out to people, which is why this is why a radio show is a great thing to listen to, because they are not going to probably be able to get rid of the information. But yes, hopefully it's still on the website out there.
Well, thank you. Body Ecology Diet. Donna, you are awesome. And I'm so happy that we were able to get this very, very important information out there to everyone. We talked so much. She gave us a huge amount of content on what you can do to prevent getting ill, prevent this infection stopping in its track, making sure that you're not too acidic and you want to alkalize your body and make sure that you get those minerals in so you can also build your immunity. And the immune system in the gut is absolutely a must, and because 70% of our immunity is in our gut. So how do we do that? She says to eat more fermented foods, kimchi, kefir, making sure you could even try miso, natto, using her Lactobacillus plantarum starter to make some of your own fermented foods. Make sure that you go green, because you definitely want all those vitamins and nutrients. And you can even use apple cider vinegar. She also recommends getting more heat. You know, that's part of the reason why we also have a fever, is to kill viruses at a higher level. And there are definitely supplements such as Viragravis, glutathione, quercetin. I always recommend olive leaf. And I also love a colloidal silver. And you can use that on your hands instead of using all that stuff that we put are the
kills bacteria, which your good bacteria has gone away. And now you're more vulnerable, actually. And so
exactly.
Glad you brought that up.
Thank you, Donna.
Well, I just want to say real quickly, too, that quercetin is not good during pregnancy. Babies, your baby, you should be upping their, or hopefully giving their baby, vitamin D. Usually every baby should have about 1,000 IUs a day of liquid, you know, dropper of vitamin D. And vitamin A is important, too. Vitamin A is real, real important for the lungs. A and D should be taken together. But babies, it's recommended to give them 1,000 milligrams a day. Now you want to give them like 4,000 or more to fight anything, protect them, really. And then it's very safe to do that. And then I also wanted to mention that zinc inhibits, according to the research, you know, it inhibits the virus from getting into the cell. And a lot of people, like I've told a few people to buy zinc, and they went out and bought the liquid, and it tasted unbelievably gross. That's a sign of your zinc, you're deficient in zinc. So take it, or take, you know, a capsule so it doesn't taste so bad. But zinc and selenium are very antiviral. We have another type of mineral called ancient earth minerals, which are just humic and fulvic minerals. They're really antiviral. Don't take anything with iron in it, because iron will flare it up and feed the virus. Don't take that. Thorne makes a little product called Picamins, which has a lot of, it's a nice balance of minerals. From you, you had given me a protocol of supplements that you mentioned, but you also mentioned glutathione, and you want to take vitamin C and glutathione ideally in the liposomal form, meaning it's going to get into your body. And berberine is really good. Chromium, you want to see those two help bring control your blood sugar, because you don't want at this time you have blood sugar that's out of control, or you're going to feed the virus. And lysine, of course, we mentioned that. But anyway, I think I'm out of things to say. I'm really grateful, Suzanne,
Thank
for
you.
This.
Donna, you're awesome. I love you. And I know everyone has learned a great deal of valuable information here. So please share the show with your loved ones. We know it will change your life for the better and prevent viral infections in its tracks. Subscribe if you haven't already so I can continue to do our very best here on Wellness for Life. If you need help in digging deeper with your health issues, I work with people globally through phone and Skype consultations. My contact info is available on my website, drsuzanne.com. Until next time, go out there and live your best life today, full of energy, enthusiasm, and ultimate health and wellness. This is Dr. Suzanne sharing natural strategies on the Wellness for Life show right here on Radio MD. Stay well.